Like, this doesn't have to take a lot of time, but just maybe hand to the heart, hand to the belly. Like, can we connect and just be like, I'm here for myself. Like, what do I want to create today?
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass. These are the themes we are exploring. I feel like we hear a lot about this word. And the word is intention. And especially as we get started into a new year, everyone's talking about resolutions. And then the evolution of the resolution is that we now talk about intentions, or we are putting intentions behind our goals. It doesn't matter. To me, it's all language. It's all vernacular until we can start to put it into practice. My guest today, Adrienne Enns, is an author and the chief joy curator at Mayu Noi Joy. Her area of expertise and her passion in life is helping individuals actually live a life of intention. It doesn't matter how busy you are, how many children you have, how many companies you are running, being able to walk into any given moment with a level of intentionality, it doesn't take time, it simply takes practice. And this is what Adrienne's mission in life is all about, to teach us how to engage in any given moment with intentionality as we move to being able to live a life of joy. Her advice is balanced between practicality and inspirational, and I know you're going to love her as much as I do. It is my pleasure to introduce you to my friend, Adrienne Enns. Adrienne Enns, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
It is a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
We have a lot of stuff to unpack today, and I love that we're going to be talking about intentionality, and I'm going to throw some questions at you around building out routine and how we start to really set our day from that perspective, and we're at the perfect time of year to really have that foundation. But before we jump into that, I would love for you to share with my listeners a little bit about your story, how we got to this place where you are an author and the chief joy curator of May You Know Joy. I know you've got such an interesting story and background that got you to this place.
Yeah, I'm happy to share that. And yeah, you know what? I never expected to be in this place. I was just writing something about it. I was like, wow, all of this seemed impossible at one point. And this all came out of my struggle with addiction. So this year on February 11th, I will be sober for 8 years.
Wow. Good for you.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And I just feel good mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. But it was that experience that changed everything for me. And remarkably, addiction has been my greatest teacher. So as I was in my early recovery, many things happened. But what really happened was I was like, I realized how much energy I had put into my own self-destruction. And I was like, I just have to come back to myself. I have to choose myself and love myself and imagine what I could do if I used this energy for good. So in those early days, and even now, my biggest lesson was to just be in the moment and choose how I want to show up and choose who I want to be in this world and what I want to contribute. And so I started living intentionally, not knowing what it was called or anything about it. So it was just this very rudimentary practice of moment to moment, but it's led me here.
Can we unpack this a little bit? Because we talk about this idea of being in the moment, and so many of my guests have spoken about this before, and I feel like it's almost this vernacular that kind of rolls off the tongue. Oh, we need to be present and into the moment. And everyone's like, yeah, I know that. And then they carry on with their lives.
Yes.
And no one knows how to do it. So I'm actually really curious, especially when you were in those early stages of your recovery where you're like, okay, I am actually going to go into this zone. How did you do that?
Well, a lot of it was like taking a breath and actually just, you're absolutely right. It is like, it just rolls off the tongue and then we continue on our right. way, being worried about things and all the things. But before I say it, like when we are not in the moment, a lot of times we're in the past, you know, like regretting things or this could have been different, that could have been different, or worrying about the future. So we create all of these stories and undue stress about things that actually aren't happening. So when I come into the present moment, I do breathe deeply. Like, and for me, it is really grounding and arriving and looking around me, like what is actually happening right now? Like right now, I'm in my office, there's snow outside, I'm talking to you, and nothing else is happening. You know, so really getting centered. And also, what can I do if I am worried about something? What can I, small thing could I do in this moment to help myself, you know, to really connect me with what I want to do or what I want to create?
And how has that experience transitioned to what you're doing in your career now? Like, share with us a little bit about what it is you do as a Chief Joy Curator.
So what the whole mandate of May You Know Joy is to inspire people to live intentionally. So yeah, I do that in a lot of different ways. So I have a product line. I also do workshops and retreats and coaching. I've written a book. So, and I only preface with that because I want there to be so many ways for people to access being intentional. So sometimes we have the time and energy for some sort of immersive experience. So whether that's an event, or I also have an online membership. But sometimes, like when I was in those early days, I did have a card deck that I would pull from in the morning. And it was just like very grounding experience for me. It really opened up my aperture and I was like, oh, okay, I'm just going to think about this today. So that's why I created the card deck and I post those on Instagram so people have an easily accessible way of having an intention. So again, like everything from like if you just want a moment of it, to a bigger experience, like I'm cognizant that we don't always have the time or the bandwidth to have a robust practice.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the reality for a lot of people, is they're like, I'm totally into this when my kids leave the house.
Yes.
Right. And I think for me, there's two sides to this. There's the what's the bigger actual purpose in your life, which I find very centering around intentionality. Like when I get lost in a tizzy of stress or doing things, I'm like, wait a second, is this actually even serving my bigger purpose? And then there's the day to day intentionality. And I'm curious how you pull those, the big picture and then the day to day together. Like what kind of tools do you give people to do that? And how do you recommend people do that?
So first of all, like they can use, like I have the May You Know Joy card, Seeds of Intention cards, but like any visual reminder, you know, so whether it's a card, you have a bracelet, a scent, like if there, to back to your original question, if there is something that will help you ground, but more importantly, a practice that I always suggest is, you know, we have this habit of just like racing, you know, just being busy, running from one thing to the next. And I think it starts when we wake up in the morning. So can we take a few seconds? Like this doesn't have to take a lot of time, but just maybe hand to the heart, hand to the belly. Like, can we connect and just be like, I'm here for myself. Like, what do I want to create today? So maybe you have an important meeting. Like, how do I want to show up? Or you're, you know, helping a friend whose parent is passing on. Like, how do I want to show up with this person? It's deciding from the outset what you want to do. And if you have this reminder, it can draw you back in. But really, like, it's most important in the day to day, like when we are busy, life is crazy, finding a way to come back to ourselves and being like, how do I want to show up? Because our moments matter.
Yeah, I agree with that. And frankly, the more you practice this and getting into the routine of it, the easier it is to do. And I'm curious, do you have a really distinct morning routine that you follow through that helps you get into that state of intentionality?
Yes. And I'm only laughing because sometimes I don't talk about it because it's also been 8 years in the making, right?
So totally. And these things, I feel like my morning routine changes every quarter. So, you know, it's a work in progress.
Yeah, but I do get up. I practice yoga every morning for an hour and a half. And so I've found that yoga for me is something, it's like I just meet myself on the mat. So for me, I'm moving my body intentionally. My breath is intentional. It also just calms my mind. So when I've done that in the morning, I'm just clearer and more present all day. And then I either pick a card. So sometimes, you know, when you're picking a card, you're just picking it at random, trusting you're going to get the message that you need. So I will do that. Or as I was saying earlier, if I have something very specific going on, I'm going to be like, okay, what's happening today? And how do I want to show up? So I take time to either think about that, or if I have the luxury of like journaling for a few minutes, I take some time to connect to it.
And are you someone who does mindfulness or meditation?
Yes.
And how has that practice transitioned and evolved for you?
Again, and this is where, it's like linking these threads. You know, you can start, I started with just 30 seconds. I didn't want to be alone in my head, you know? So it was just, but now it can be, you know, a half hour or longer. But it just, again, it's kind of like that yoga analogy, just meeting myself and allowing things to settle and noticing as thoughts come up and just letting them go. That also sounds all right, but doing it is not simple. It's really being with yourself.
Which I think for a lot of people is the scariest part, right?
Yeah, that's why we want to numb out. That's why we want to avoid things. And to your point about the time, I get this question a lot because people are like, oh, it's great. You have the time for this. I'm like, I create the time for this because I believe it's essential to my well-being. And what I like to explain is that, you can take this 30 seconds in the morning. And this stuff, to your point, adds up over time. And the other thing is we can layer it into everything that we're doing, the way we're listening to people, conversations we're having, you know, how we're showing up in the world. And then the last thing is also, you know, we put time into things we think are worth it, you know, so I would argue that our time is worth it.
How do we get people there? So one of the things I've observed is that when people who meditate, they swear by meditation. They are evangelists for this notion of meditation. And I've actually never met someone who has a regular meditation or mindfulness practice who would go back. They've crossed that threshold and they're never going back. And I find this massive cohort that can't even get close to the line because there's all these preconceived ideas about what it means. And I don't want people to have to experience trauma to see the joys of meditation. And so because you've worked with so many people and because this is the work that you do, what are the common features that drive people over that threshold? Because there's something on the other side that is so deeply powerful that people won't ever come back, and yet we're so scared to go there.
This is such a good question because I'm with you. I share my story a lot, and I'm I'm telling you also so you don't have to do this.
Right.
You know, you don't have to go to your rock bottom to come back, but often that is what leads people there. I just think our society has created, there's just such a desire for, you know, perfection. And, you know, with meditation or even, you know, with my yoga practice, I love it. But some days, I meet myself on that mat and I'm body, do you remember that we've been here before? it's a mess. And sometimes meditation is a mess. You can have been practicing for a long time. So I think people get so caught up in, I'm supposed to be calm and I'm not supposed to have these thoughts and it's supposed to be a certain way and I should be doing that. And they get so hard on themselves and frustrated. And it's, the question is like, can we just like love ourselves enough to like be in the mess? Like just, this is how I'm showing up today. And if I can just do it for 30 seconds, it's great. You know, like be on our own side and just try, like be in the discomfort of it and just be like, it's okay.
How did you learn to meditate?
Just that way. I was just like, I'm just gonna try it. And it was frustrating. And I was like, oh, people look so relaxed when they're doing it. And I feel like my brow is all furrowed and my shoulders are tight. So I was just like, try for, and I'd have a timer. You know, it was like, let's like put an end to this, you know? So 30 seconds, a minute, and just practice. And then also I did go to, you know, like meditation classes or yoga retreats where it was more, you know, you had to sit way longer than anything I was willing to do. And I was like, oh, I can, you know, you kind of are like, oh, I can do this. And you just do it slowly.
They say that you are the product of the five people with whom you spend the most time. Imagine you could spend time with hundreds of fellow entrepreneurs and go-getters looking to up-level their business, body, and mindset. The Entrepology Collective does not belong to us. It belongs to you. Come hang out with us on Facebook and let us collectively inspire, support, and cheerlead you towards your vision for contribution, your commitment towards better health, and your journey of mindset mastery. We are in this together. We are entrepreneurs by birth, by choice, and by mission. We are the Entrepology Collective. Search for us on Facebook and come join your tribe. And how, like, this is a part I'm always curious about. So I've made a commitment this year to really develop and lean into my own meditation practice because I'm super tired of all these cool people hanging out on the other side of it being like, Megan, you got to join me. So I was like, I am going to deconstruct this, but I'll share one of the reasons why I have like hit this. I feel like it's this weird, like invisible vortex is that I'm worried. Well, worried isn't the right word. Maybe it's my excuse. I some days I just actually find it boring, which I suspect is a reflection of where I'm at. But when I talk to people, this is the common language I keep hearing so many of them say is, oh, I just don't want to turn my head off for that long. Or I just don't want to sit there. Like, how boring is that? They're picturing like I'm sitting in a car for 4 hours and thinking about nothing. So what is it about that misconception of what meditation is versus what it actually is that can help pull us over the line?
Well, it can be boring.
Like, I'm not gonna... Adrian, you just ruined it for thousands of people. No. I'm just teasing.
It can be. And it's just so, like, that's where they say sometimes in yoga, like, Shavasana can be the hardest part because we're just being still, you know, in a society that does not allow us to sit still. Like, there's so much coming at us. So maybe there's just a different word for bored, you know, like maybe it's being still with it. And the other thing is, like, I'm also like a not a real rules person. So I think meditation can be lots of things, right? Like if you like to run or you like to dance or you like to do some sort of artwork, it's like carving out this time where your brain falls into this different zone. So if sitting in meditation is not comfortable for people, I would suggest like don't throw it all out.
Right. And have you used a device like the Muse?
I just tried it once at an event and it was really, it was interesting. But I've only used it once. So I can't really like speak to it.
So I've actually used the Muse off and on for a few years. And it's fun because for people like me who are like, ugh, like how am I going to just sit there? What I loved about it is it pulled in this really interesting gamification piece. And the other thing it made me realize was that what I thought I was doing when I was meditating was not actually meditating. And so it was really, really interesting as I started to use it more and started to feel success in doing it. I was getting these little glimpses of what it's all about. So, you know, for people who are out there who are kind of feeling like me, they're like, oh, I could never turn my head off for that long. It is a really, really cool device and investment in terms of exploring this whole realm. So I'm just throwing it out there for everybody.
I think that's a great thing to add, or there are lots of apps with guided meditations. And to your point, like, it doesn't have to be like arduous. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. This, you're going to sit down and you have to do this and feel peaceful. Like, it's like, yeah, if you can make it enjoyable and fun, like, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, yeah, find your own, like, whatever works for you. Like, there's not like a right. Our brain is so yes, no, right, wrong. Mm-hmm. That's failure, you know? And it's like, no, can we just like be in the mess and just be curious and explore? And like, I'm just like this in this moment, and that's okay.
Right. And I find too, exactly to your point, like, drop the perfectionism, drop this, like, I got to be sitting on a mat on the floor with my legs crossed kind of thing. Because I've also had a lot of patients who've been really successful in adopting a meditation practice, and they start by walking. And yeah, they just start by like returning to intentionality around walking, or they... or they're out on the water in a canoe, or like what, or in the woods. Like, it doesn't have to be any one thing. And maybe that's the difference between meditation and mindfulness, but it's such a critical starting point, I think, for so many people.
I agree. That's right. Yeah. Or if it's like dancing or whatever you're doing. Yeah. Like, just finding that time to just, yeah, be still. And I think it's just like, yeah, not being in the canoe with your mind racing. You know what I mean? Like, about all the things you have to do, like being in the canoe, paddling, like enjoying the water, enjoying your surroundings, just being there.
And you say part of intentionality and intentional living is, you know, being able to abstain from the busyness and then really reconnecting to our purpose. How do you help people find purpose? Because I think so many people are like, oh, I want to find it, but they don't know where to start.
Yes, I hear that all the time. They're like, I have no idea what my purpose is. So again, I'm abandoning ship. So I'm like, you know, sometimes it can be hard to find, you know, and I'm like, I don't know what your purpose is, but you can be purposeful, right? Like, so yeah, intention to me means, you know, I'm just going to decide how I want to show up and practice that. So for example, if somebody wants to be kind, you know, and wants to live a kind world, like, can you be kind to yourself, to your environment, to the people around you? And, you know, once you say you have an intention, the world's going to give you a lot of opportunities to practice it. So it's just really, yeah, like aligning with like who you want to be and how you want to show up and putting your energy into that. So energy into the next right thing instead of beating yourself up or beating other people up, like just staying on track.
Yeah. And I would really echo that. And that piece about start by just having the intention around how you want to show up and who you want to be. And I know for a lot of people, sometimes that means you just start to emulate someone that you find incredibly interesting, or someone you look up to, or someone whose own behavior and way of being in the world is something that you find powerful or interesting or fascinating or inspiring. And then if you can create space on the back end of showing up like that, I have found that one's purpose develops in this like total clarity when you stop and listen. And it, for me,
I totally agree.
Right? Yeah, go ahead. Because this, mm-hmm, I think is so key, because people are like, how do I do this? And I loved what you just said there. And I'm just sort of breaking it down into steps. So like, clear on who you want to be, creating some just space to be quiet. And maybe that starts with a vacation and you're walking on the beach. Like, let's indulge this stillness if we need to get you started. Because I feel like there's a spectrum from being purposeful to really delving into purpose. And I'm obsessed with purpose as a clinician, because we know when people identify as having a sense of purpose in their life, they're way healthier. They live longer. They have less chronic disease. They recover from chronic disease better. And it's not just because they have stillness in their life. It's because they have a mission in their life. And that's powerful.
It's totally powerful. And I think too, and I'm curious to hear what you have to say about it, but you know, we get also so caught up, like I work with a lot of, high achievers, you know, so that purpose is big, you know, and it's amazing to have a big purpose, but you know, I really hurt my back in the fall and I was like, today my purpose is getting out of bed, you know, and it was just like, purpose can also be smaller, you know, it could be being kind to people, being a great parent, you know, just, you know, depends on your energy levels too, but like all those small or big steps are all aligning you with your purpose.
Absolutely. And I think that's the thing, is it's not go hard every single day, but when we have clarity on where our true north is, it helps with that recovery, right? It keeps us from lying on the couch for an extra 6 weeks when we could have gotten moving, or we could have done our physiotherapy, or we could have, or you know, or we could have gone to visit a friend instead of isolating ourselves. Like that's where I find the power of purpose really comes into play. And it doesn't mean that's your purpose forever, but it's really, really powerful to have it as a North Star, and an attempt to move in that direction.
Absolutely. And as you're saying this, it's making me think of one thing that I always also like to communicate, that it's also people think, you know, okay, once I found my purpose or what have you, they're like, okay, I'm going to get there and things are going to be great.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, if I'm intentional, Adrian, for X number of days, like life's going to be perfect. I'm going to be full of joy, like job done. And I'm like, well, it doesn't work like that. Yeah. Like there's always going to be struggle, but all of these practices help you meet that struggle from a different place, you know, so things are still going to happen. But I find like on the tough days, that's when I become most intentional. I'm like, okay, how am I going to deal with this?
Right.
You know, so what do I need to do physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually to like be really intentional today and make my way through this mess.
Okay, so take us through your new book and your methodology for this, because I want to give people like 5 steps to starting to integrate intentionality into their lives on a daily basis.
Well, that's what, the book is called Intentional Days, and it's out in paperback, ebook. I also recorded the audiobook, which was fun. And it is basically all the questions that I've gotten over the last few years. So it's broken down into 3 sections. So the first section is, what does it mean to be intentional and why should you bother?
Right.
The second section is, like a how-to. So it offers really simple practices, morning routines, evening routines, time of year routines. So people can, you know, take from that and create a practice that works and evolves for them over time. And then the third section, it's an evolution of the May No Joy cards. It's a whole new series of intentions. So people could turn to one and read it in the morning or at night and just have it be a real sense of grounding for them. So if I were suggesting to people how to read it, I would read it cover to cover so that you know what's in there, and then just go back like, oh, I want to shift up, or she said something about morning routine or spring equinox, I'm going to go read that. Or at the back, there's a passage about courage. I really need some courage today, or I'm struggling with fear, or I'm struggling with not being good enough. I know there's a passage here that could just really help me.
Okay, so take us through this routine around the spring equinox, because I think we're all like, it's coming. We know it's coming. How would that shift for you? Like, what would a seasonal routine or a seasonal transformation look like?
Well, it's interesting. I had a bunch of friends over just after New Year's, and we were talking about this because we were like, oh, you know, it's 2020, new year, new intentions. And we were all like, wow, we're all really wiped out. You know, like it just felt like the holidays were busy and lots of emotional stuff came up. And one of the women reminded us that actually seasonally, and actually I was talking to an astrologer the other day and she was saying the same thing, really like the spring equinox is the first of the year. So right now, technically, you know, it is winter and we should be hibernating. And it's a time to like go inward and let those seeds and everything be nurtured. So spring is a time of blossoming. So for some people listening, like that might feel like a more natural new year. You know, we have more of a spring in our step. There's more daylight. They might be like, oh, now I want to create my intentions for the year. So on the spring equinox, you could mark it in any way you want. You could use a journal to set some intentions. You could, it could be as simple as buying yourself some flowers or changing your routine, but really embracing that energy.
I love that. And I think so many of us are disconnected to where the seasons are naturally putting us.
Yeah.
And there really is an opportunity to listen to those cues around us. And I always do this when I'm trying to problem solve. I'm like, how would nature do this? Because it is so naturally talented at creating cycles and solutions and patterns to, frankly, all of life's problems. So I really love that you pointed out and made that connection.
Well, and I just feel like, you know, everybody is coming to me, like, because I talk so much about intention, they're like, January 1st, you know, and we, you know, of course, I'm always going to encourage it. But at the same time, I was like, you know, there just seems to be, you know, whether it's on social media or just out in the world, it's like, okay, you know, we've got to set these intentions. And it's like, if you don't do it, like, you're lost behind, which is not the case. Like, you do, like you said, need to check into your natural rhythms, or maybe you're going through something personally. Like, what are all of these cycles? Like, every moment is an opportunity to begin again.
So brilliant. Adrienne, how would you describe your purpose?
My purpose is joy. Like, I just, when I was recovering, I had this conversation with this woman, and she, I thought she could help me, you know, and she said to me, in terms of my recovery, she said, I don't think you're serious about this. And I don't believe it when people say they're happy. And I hung up on her. Something in me just shifted in that moment. And I was like, you know what? I just always want to connect with my deepest sense of joy. And while I'm on this planet, that's what I want to infuse while I'm here.
A quick note from our sponsor, Badass Fuel. 2 years ago, someone asked me what supplements I take to maintain my health, my energy, and my edge. And they were surprised that I only took 4 things consistently. For myself and my patients, there are 4 basics that support, at a foundational level, nearly every system in our body. In my quest for the highest quality ingredients and the easiest system for consistently incorporating supplementation into my routine, I formulated and manufactured my own line of foundational supplements. My intention with this line was first and foremost quality, but equally important was a system for taking and naming the support that eased the incorporation of supplements into your life. Trusted for myself and my patients, under the guidance of your own healthcare provider, I'm excited to invite you to check out our foundational product line, Badass Basics. You can learn more or order the products yourself by visiting www.badassfuel.com. I love it. What a perfect place to make our transition, Adrienne. If you will indulge me, I'm going to move us into the section of the interview that I call our KPIs.
Yeah.
Our key performance indicators. So just like we have them in our business, I believe that we have them in how we live our life as well. So we've got a few questions for you. You ready?
Yep.
Okay. First question. What's the most impactful book you have ever read?
The Untethered Soul.
Oh, so good.
Love it. Page 75 is actually my favorite.
I love that you did not have these questions beforehand and yet can provide that level of specificity. It's awesome. What is the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
My yoga practice.
Oh, yeah. What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
I took a hip hop dancing class.
Oh, that's cool.
I have no rhythm and I just loved every moment of it.
Okay. This is a good challenge to me because in my head, I'm like, I have no rhythm. I could never do it. And you're like, I have no rhythm and I did it anyway. So that's amazing.
In the spirit of joy, I was like, this is just fun.
That's fantastic. What do you do for fun or play outside of hip hop?
What I do, I just love like hanging out with my friends. I love cooking, being outside. Yeah, just, and like exploring the city. Like my ideal day would be to go to a farmer's market and just like see what's fresh and make something super delicious outside.
Oh, brilliant. I love it. Last question for you, entrepreneurism. Are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think that we're born this way, and I never would have expected myself to give that answer because I never thought of myself as an entrepreneur, but having experienced the corporate world and all the structures when I was in there, I was like, I can't follow these rules, you know? So something inside me was like, there's got to be a different way.
I love it. Well, I'm so glad that you found that other way. And Adrian, if people want to connect with you, and I know that they will, where can we send them to learn more about what you're up to?
They could check out my website. So it's mayyouknowjoy.com. So mayyouknowjoy.com. I'm also have a Facebook page under that same name, and that is also at May You Know Joy is my Instagram handle, and I love Instagram.
Amazing. Well, we will hook everyone up with our show notes. Adrian, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun.
Amazing. Have a great day.
You too.
Hey, hey, bosses. If that interview resonated with you, I would love your feedback over on Apple Podcasts. Every single review, every comment you leave makes a huge difference in terms of the Entrepology Podcast being able to reach more people, help more people, and pull more individuals into our vector and vertical of leadership that we are using to try to change the world. Now, if you want to discuss a little bit more about today's topic or other topics that affect us as leaders and go-getters in this world, come on over and hang out with me in the Entrepology Collective. In this Facebook group, we have women from around the world dedicated to living a life of purpose, a healthy life, an intentional life as we cruise through and engage in our missions here on planet Earth. I would love for you to join us. I'm excited about what you do. Until we meet again next week, go build something amazing.